Daniel Baker in Dixon County. They believe that 31-year-old Stephen Wiggins is armed and dangerous. After pleading guilty to breaking campaign finance laws, conservative commentator Dinesh D'Souza is being pardoned by President Trump, who says D'Souza has been treated unfairly by the government. And this is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
No one is defending her comments. They're inappropriate.
The White House discussing the controversy over Roseanne Barr and the comedian's racist remarks about a former top advisor to President Obama, Valerie Jarrett. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, also at yesterday's briefing, defending a tweet from President Trump in which he said ABC owes him an apology, accusing the network of making horrible statements about him in the past.
President's pointing to the hypocrisy in the media, saying that the most horrible thing about this president, and nobody addresses it.
Meanwhile, ABC may be facing a bit of a battle from the recently fired comedian, as Roseanne Barr says she might try to fight to keep her show going. In a tweet yesterday, Barr said positive feedback she's been getting since her show was canceled on Tuesday is giving her confidence to fight back against the network. A survey of the richest communities in all 50 states conducted by 24/7 Wall Street has determined that Los Altos Hills, California, is the wealthiest town in America. It says the median income in that Silicon Valley enclave is $243,000, and the median home price is $2 million. Close behind is the second richest town in the country is Sands Point, New York, which is located on Long Island Sound, followed by Great Falls, Virginia, Darien, Connecticut, and Indian Hills, Ohio. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100in-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll discuss the ban on a video game release that has me wondering who would have thought to invent this game in the first place. I'll also be talking about the six traits of a good customer testimonial, and while local content marketing is more important than ever. And I'll have the seven signs that your client will never pay their invoice. It's Thursday, my birthday, May 31st, 2018, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Today is May 31st, 2018. It is my birthday, and my name is Jim Gannot, and I'm the host of this program, Taking Care of Business, with you for the next hour as we discuss issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County in New Jersey and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we take a brief check of the weather, and it's currently 65 degrees at 12:05. The forecast showing that today, again, my birthday, we're going to have some showers throughout the day, a high of 72 and a low of 64. For tomorrow, my son's birthday, we'll have thunderstorms in the morning and afternoon with a high of 86 and a low of 68. And for Saturday, we'll have thunderstorms in the area with the potential for heavy rainfall, a high of 81 degrees and a low of 59. Sunday, we're going to have cloudy skies, a chance of a shower, and a high of 65 and a low of 53.
Taking care of business and working
And a current check of the financial market shows that the Dow is currently down 159.67 to 24,508.21. The NASDAQ is up 21.98 to 7484.43. The S&P 500 is down 5.64 to 2718.37. Oil is down 80 cents to $67.41 per barrel, and gold down 30 cents to $1,306.20 an ounce. All right, well, if you're listening to the show right now, there's a good chance that you might be doing it while linked up to your Facebook page. So we want to welcome you to the live stream that's taking place on Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot, our Facebook page for this show. We also would encourage you to like that page so that you can get updates midweek on any changes that are happening in the world, business or news related that I think are important. We usually post them there first. We had a little posting that went out last night. I'm getting a lot of feedback on it, but I'm not seeing anybody walking through the door yet. And we had made, what I did was I made an invite to anybody that if you wanted to come to the studio and talk about your business or organization, the price of admission was chocolate chip cookies. So we'll see if anybody takes me up on that offer. But so far, I was expecting a line out the door and there's nobody here. So we'll just continue on with the program. A lot of people hoping from all over the country. I heard from Donna in Indiana and others in Maryland, et cetera, saying, boy, I hope you get some cookies, and me too. So we'll have to see how that goes. So again, don't forget to like our Facebook page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot. And you can also replay that at any time from any shows you miss from that page, or you can always go to the archive section of our website, huntertonchamberradio.com. The business quote of the week is brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. It comes today from Booker T. Washington, who said, "Few things can help an individual more than to place responsibility on him and to let him know that you trust him." And the reason that I like this quote was, and let's read it one more time, "Few things can help an individual more than to place responsibility on him and to let him know that you trust him." In business, a lot of times when I talk to business owners, talk to managers, anybody that has direct reports under them, I'll hear things like, "I always feel like I have to do it myself. I don't trust my staff to get it done correctly," which when I hear that, I'm saying, okay, so you didn't train them right. It's not necessarily their fault as much as it might be your fault for not doing a better job of getting your staff fully trained in the way that you want them to work. But when you do give them that responsibility, when you give them ownership, and you'll hear me often talk about how I tell employers to tell their staff, to have their staff think as if they're the owner of the company. It goes a long way for people when they take that responsibility. So I want to make sure that everybody understands why this quote is so important. You have to trust your staff. If you don't trust your staff, why are they working for you? You have to know, you have to train them to the best of your ability. They in turn have to work to the best of their ability. And that's why I always come up with another comment, which is a twist on John F. Kennedy's inauguration speech. Ask not what your company can do for you, ask what you can do for your company. And I think what I'm trying to get at there is that if people take that mentality of company first, you're going to get paid regardless. The paycheck's coming. We know that. But at least earn every single penny of it. Don't be on Facebook. Don't be shopping online. Don't be doing anything that isn't work-related in those core hours of the work process. A lot of studies show that, you know, many businesses, most employees work 5 1/4 hours per day. What happened to the other 2 3/4 hours that they're sitting there? So make sure that you're getting your value from your employees, but also give them that responsibility, give them that trust. Will they make mistakes? Yes. Learn from them and move on. I have two great employees that they have my full faith and confidence. Yeah, they make mistakes. I don't rant, rave, and holler when they do. We learn from it and we move on. And I think that that's a great way to approach it. And when your employees feel as if you trust them, that you're giving them that responsibility, they'll rise to the occasion. Trust me. Well, again, as I mentioned, it is my birthday today, number 57. And so if you are listening and you want to come down to the studio, you're from Flemington, by all means do so. Just remember, the price of admission is a chocolate chip cookie. So, again, we'll see if anybody takes me up on that offer. there is a video game, and this is, as soon as I heard about this, in addition to wanting to throw up, I felt the need to talk about it here on the air, and that is a new video game that was getting ready to be released online. It wasn't going to be available in stores. It was an online game. And perhaps the two scariest words in any school district, whether you're an administrator or a teacher or a parent, are the words active shooter. We've heard about it in Parkland. We've heard about it in Texas. We've heard about it just about in every state in the union. You know, when we go back, we think of Columbine as one of the worst tragedies ever. So when you hear that term, there's an active shooter on a school campus, it just kind of stops you in your tracks for a minute. You want to know where. You want to know if everybody you know is safe, things like that. And I can't imagine the horror that a parent would feel if they got, say, a Honeywell alert saying there's an active shooter situation at, you know, 100 and Central, for instance. How fast could you drive to get there to get to your child? So anyway, a new video game was developed, and it was called Active Shooter. The way it's been designed is it takes people through, and the graphics are so realistic, it's ridiculous, but it looks like you're inside a school. And you have the option of either playing the part of the shooter or of the SWAT team that's going to come in to negate the situation. It has victims that you can shoot, mostly female, in areas like the lunchroom, the cafeteria, the hallways, the stairwells, the gymnasium. So it's very realistic. I got to see a preview of it on the news the other night, and again, my heart just sank that anybody would even think that this would be a game that people could play, should play, or would ever want to play. It did have a little box that that said, please don't mimic the actions portrayed in this game, as if that is a huge deterrent. That wouldn't hold up in a legal situation anyway. So the much-criticized video game that would let players shoot up a school has been pulled from a digital storefront just days before its release. The PC game Active Shooter was set to be released June 6th on Steam, an online gaming store and platform owned by Valve Corporation, a video game developer. Now, news of the game's release had sparked widespread outrage, including among students and parents at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, where 17 people died in a shooting in February. Marketing materials for the game, developed by Revive Games and published by a Russian company called Acid, promised to let players choose between portraying a SWAT team member responding to a shooting or portraying an actual shooter whose objective was to hunt and destroy. That's their marketing terms, hunt and destroy. Valve sent a statement to CNN on Wednesday saying that they removed Revive Games and Acid from its Steam platform due to past misbehavior. In the statement, Valve spokesman Doug Lombardi said the game's developer and publisher is a man who had been banned from Steam last fall when he was operating under a different name. Lombardi described the developer as a troll with a history of customer abuse, publishing copyrighted material, and user review manipulation. Valve discovered the man was the developer behind Active Shooter when they began investigating amid controversy surrounding the upcoming game. We are not going to do business with people who act like this towards our customers or Valve, he added. Valve will be holding broader conversations soon about Steam's content policy, Lombardi said. Revive Games and Acid did not respond Wednesday to requests for comment. News of the game's upcoming release had drawn fierce criticism in recent days from classmates and parents of students that were slain in Parkland who demanded Valve remove the game from its platform. There's a lot of things in those statements that I disagree with. First of all, to say that the developer is a troll and somebody who's using a pseudonym, the game was developed. Somebody had to see it. They had a June 6th launch date for this game. At some point, somebody had to review the content and said, sure, we'll release this. It's a game. But at some point, somebody's making that decision that, sure, you know, this is a good game. We should put this out there. And it wasn't, I think, until the backlash happened that all of a sudden people said, maybe we need to relook at this. The fact that the game has been developed, that the technology already exists, means that it's going to appear somewhere someday. They're going to try to sell it on another platform. And it's just a shame that anybody would think that this is a platform that anybody would have an interest in. And those that play it, you know, first of all, where the hell are your parents? But the question for you is, who the hell ever thought that a game about school shootings was a good idea? I just don't understand it. I don't know where our heads are at that we think that this is what gaming has come to or should be. I think we should go back to the old days. Just bring back Pong, and we'll just watch the ball go back and forth. Because if this is where we're going, you can take the consoles out of my house. I have absolutely no interest in any kind of gaming in my house that would be aimed at reflecting a school shooting. And I can't, you can't justify it by saying, well, you can play the part of the cop or you can play the part of the shooter. This game should never exist at all. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about six traits of a successful customer testimonial. We'll be right back.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. And want to remind you that next week, June 7th, I'm going to be having guest Mike Michalowicz on the phone with me. He'll be joining me for a talk about his book, Profit First, right here, and how it can transform your business as it has mine. Again, I encourage you to buy the book. It's available at Amazon.com. It's called Profit First by Mike Michalowicz, before the show, so you can follow along to what we're talking about. If you own a small business and feel like no matter how hard you try, you can't get ahead financially, the Profit First method will change all of that. So make sure you pick up a copy of that today. Don't forget that this Sunday, June 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., is the Flemington Fine Artisans Show. It's a show and sale of exceptional handmade art and craft by outstanding area artists. And that's located at the Stengel Factory, 4 Stengel Road in Flemington. There is free admission and parking. For more information, you can visit www.FlemingtonFineArtisansShow.com. Let me give you that again. FlemingtonFineArtisansShow.com. So make sure that you check that out and explore Flemington this weekend, which is what we're all about. I want to say hello to Josh and Chris, who are watching on Facebook with the live stream. Always good to see Josh this morning in the store. And Chris, you know we always love seeing you. Don't forget the Hunterdon County Community Day. This will be the fifth annual Hunterdon County Community Day. brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, will be brought to you on Saturday, June 2nd, at the County Fairgrounds at South County Park, 1207 Route 179 in Ringo. It's a good day from 11 to 4 p.m. There's a petting zoo, pony rides, vendors, a reptile show, a calliope organ, tethered balloon rides, and more. Fun for the whole family. There's food, games, music, brought to you by Unity Bank, Hunterdon Healthcare, the Hunterdon County Cultural Commission, and, of course, the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. So make sure you join them there for that. So I've been holding off on this story because I've been getting a lot of questions from people, like, what makes a good customer testimonial, and what, how do you get good customer testimonials? And if you notice, there was a story this week that a doctor in New York City has sued a woman for giving him a bad review on Yelp. She gave him a one star, she made some comments, and he sued her for defamation of character. So far, she has had to pay over $20,000 in legal fees. So you have to kind of question whether or not that negative review that you're thinking of giving to the local restaurant or something like that is really worth your time if somebody has the resources and wants to defend their honor and their name and their business reputation. One bad reputation or one bad review may not ruin your reputation, but it certainly doesn't help. So I've talked a million times on this program about the company image and how everything you say and everything you do is a reflection of your business. You don't have to look much further than Roseanne Barr this week, how she makes a negative tweet, a racist tweet towards a woman that used to work in the Obama administration, and very swiftly ABC Television canceled the number one rated show on the ABC Television network. They said, we're done. And so as a result, in addition to losing about $45 million in annual revenue from the show, about 100 to 150 people are now out of work based on the results of one tweet. So customers don't care about your marketing claims, but they might listen to other customers. So here's how to get the right reviews that can boost sales for your business. And no matter how much time you spend crafting and refining your messages, your product pages, web copy, and marketing content are all filled to the brim with crap. Now that might sound a bit harsh, so let me elaborate. No one is falling into your falling for your marketing claims anymore. When you say you're the best, when you say everything is new and improved, how many times can you new and improve something? So, although this story, you know, has been around for a while, I think it still has some relevance, especially when people are starting to ask me, how can I get good reviews? The number one thing you can do is ask for them. Now, if a person is in your store and they purchase something and say, oh, I love your customer service and your staff is so friendly, ask them, would you be willing to post something like that on Yelp? Would you be willing to post something like that on Angie's List? Would you be willing to post something like that on Yahoo, on Google, on Facebook, so that other people know that we've provided you with excellent service? The consumer is now the king, and they hold the most power when it comes to digital engagement. Now, a prospect can drop out of your online sales funnel as quickly as they drop into it, and that's instantaneous. So if you have less time to capture people's attention, and to top it off, your marketing jargon is falling on deaf ears, what do you do? Again, customers don't care if you claim your product is the best in class or can do something better than any other product on the market. Why? Because they can fact check your claims within seconds from anywhere at any time. Now, whenever you make a claim or a promise, you need to back it up with clear, specific proof. And one of the only ways to build trust in this area is to deliver customer reviews of testimonials where people can share experiences that they had with your product or service. Now, customers may not trust you, but they will certainly trust someone else just like them who bought something for the same reasons that they want to. So, what are customers saying about your business? That's a good idea to make sure you're checking the usual suspects. Google yourself, Google your business, look at Facebook. Are there any negative comments? Go to Manta.com, go to Yelp, go to Yext. Make sure you're always looking, and it's not a bad idea to do the Google search where you can set your company name or your name individually, and every time it appears online, you'll get a notice saying, for instance, I get one, they'll say, Jim Gano appeared in a news article. And if I click on it, maybe my name was mentioned. And sometimes it's just because I'm the member of a committee. And so they listed all the committee members. Doesn't matter. Or if there's a press release or an article, then at least I'll see where it was published. So the power of testimonials is broken down this way. If you think that I'm just sending out numbers, you know, we're not. 97% of consumers relied on online reviews for local businesses in 2017. 97%. 85% of people trust online reviews as much as a personal recommendation. 90% of customers read fewer than 10 reviews before forming an opinion about a business. 73% of consumers say positive reviews make them trust a local business more. What an outrage, we hear you say. All those numbers are from the same source. Well, buckle up, because here are some more. Consumers will spend 31% more with a business that has an excellent or higher review rating. 97% of B2B buyers say that user-generated content, such as reviews, is more credible than any other type of content. 64% of software buyers will read at least 6 reviews before making a purchase decision. And the takeaway is very simple. User-generated content, reviews, and testimonials provide a more credible and trustworthy appearance to prospects. You can make marketing promises all day long, but it won't make a difference if you cannot back up your claims with proof from past customers. And that's why testimonials are more important than ever. So what are the 6 traits of a successful testimonial? And keep in mind, there are many forms of testimonials, and not all of them need to be on your company blog or website. You can have testimonials elsewhere, too, such as on a partner page or social media sites. I love it when people say, in search of, in Flemington, and then all of a sudden they'll say, in search of a landscaper. And you'll start to see the list populate. And it may be Joshua's Landscape Service or something else. But you'll start to see not only that Joshua's is mentioned once, but it may be mentioned 3 or 4 times in the thread, which now is boosting how many people are saying that they like Joshua's Landscaping Service. So if he gets 4 out of, you know, the 7 reviews, chances are people are going to want to come to him. So that's what's making the testimonials so important. So whatever the case, testimonials work to build trust, to lend credence to any claims you make about a product or service. 72% of buyers will take action only after reading a positive review about a company or a product. So what goes into an effective testimonial? What will resonate with your customers? Here are a few examples that hopefully will help craft a strategy for your small business. And in the meantime, I also want to say hello to Danielle and John, who are watching online. Thanks for joining us on the program. First, your testimonial should be short and sweet. Most audiences aren't going to stick around and read long testimonials and reviews. That's why YouTube product reviews are so popular. People prefer watching video than reading. Placement and structure. Where you put testimonials is just as important as what's in them. So especially on a business website, you want them to be visible, but not to the point that they take the attention away from the rest of the information about your company. The standard practice is to create a separate testimonial page to show off customer reviews. If you decide to do this, make sure that the page is compelling and interesting. Otherwise, your customers won't spend much time there. And it has to be authentic. We all know companies have gotten away with fabricating testimonials and reviews, but avoid the temptation to go over to the dark side. Keep your testimonials authentic and refrain from giving people a script to follow. Instead, opt for sources who are willing to speak candidly or even bluntly and make sure that they're going to tell the truth at all times. It may sound odd, but you also want them to be unfiltered. Now, what do we mean by that? You may not want to edit the reviews or the testimonials before you post them on your site, even if they're spelling mistakes or something like that, because it makes it unfiltered and authentic. Especially since you likely go all over your website with a fine-tooth comb, testimonials work best when they are authentic or real in tone. A casual writing style or even typos help demonstrate that a real person or customer is behind the keyboard. Just ask Donald Trump. And you want it to be responsive. Now, this tip goes back to the authenticity factor that I talked about earlier. Whenever possible, be sure to respond to customer reviews and testimonials. If they're positive, you should obviously thank the customer for buying from you and for leaving kind words. However, don't shy away from responding to a negative review. An appropriate response, done professionally, can make all the difference. Never take a combative or aggressive approach to negative responses. Stay humble. If a customer completely trashes your product or service, maybe point out a few ways that they or you could remedy the situation and offer them an apology. Other people will see these interactions and it will work in your favor. And you want to be specific. When choosing your testimonials or asking for them, look for specificity in terms of gains or improvement. Someone saying, "We experienced a huge improvement," is less impressive than someone who has numbers to back it up. A better example would say, "We saw X% business increase, which led to Y," or "We saved 10% from the competition. This is especially true in the B2B market, where your customers want to see a measurable value proposition before they spend their cash. And then, obviously, you want to go forth and conquer. If you only take away one thing from this story, it's to take your marketing copy, that understand that your marketing copy isn't as important anymore as the customer testimonial is. It's still important. It's still relevant. It should still be engaging, but it's not what's going to be driving the most business. I've said this quote, I don't know how many times on the show, and I love it, and it's from like the 1960s, from Earl Nightingale, when he said, the greatest form of advertising is a satisfied customer with a big mouth. Think about it. When a friend of yours is talking about a great restaurant, great service they receive somewhere, a great product, a great business, you tend to want to go check it out, and hopefully you'll have a similar experience. And conversely, what Nightingale didn't say in that comment was the worst form of advertising is a satisfied customer or a dissatisfied customer with a big mouth. You have to take care of both of them. And don't get mad when somebody complains about your business or your service or your pricing or something like that. It's an opportunity for you to go out and do better. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about local content marketing. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump remains hopeful about a possible summit between himself and the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The president speaking at Joint Base Andrews this morning before he was heading to Texas.
It's all a process. We'll see. And hopefully we'll have a meeting on the 12th that's going along very well. But I want it to be meaningful. It doesn't mean it gets all done at one meeting. Maybe you have to have a second or a third. And maybe we'll have none. But it's in good hands, that I can tell you.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has been meeting with a top North Korean official in New York City and is expected to be returning to Washington with a letter from Kim Jong-un addressed to President Trump tomorrow. President Trump was speaking as he was getting ready to head to Texas to meet with families affected by the recent school shootings at Santa Fe High School, in which 10 people were killed on the 18th of May. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay. So why am I currently skipping stones with four locals and one grizzly bear outside this Riverside Lodge in Portland? Because Hotels.com lets me do me. And because, honestly, the bear just kind of joined in, and now we're afraid that if we stop, he'll get angry. He can smell our fear. Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. Cookie Watch is on, and I invited people that would want to come and wish me a happy birthday to come to the studio here at 119 Main Street in Flemington. Bring me chocolate chip cookies, and we would talk about your business or anything you want to talk about. Cookie Watch is on. It's now 12:33. No cookies yet. I got no cookies. All right, let's talk about local content marketing. It is more important than ever. We just talked about how, and it's funny when you do these kind of stories, how they sometimes interact. But one story says marketing doesn't matter. Another story says marketing is the most important thing. You have to figure it out for yourself. Is the marketing the most important aspect? Are the customer testimonials the most important aspect? I'm going to tell you they're equally important. Russ, if you're listening, feel free to chime in at any time on that. Local content marketing is more important than ever before. And by sharing content that interests your local community, you can boost your visibility in Facebook and connect with more followers. Thanks to recent changes to Facebook's newsfeed, it's harder than ever to get your small business to be in front of your social media followers. That's why it's crucial to stand out with local content. By sharing content that goes beyond the scope of just your business or industry, you show Facebook that you are worth being ranked with authority. Using local content marketing effectively means understanding what Facebook looks for, in addition to understanding your target audience. There are many topics, strategies, and campaigns that can be used to achieve local content marketing and grow your business. The first, you want to make sure you're gearing your local content to reach a specific audience. Who exactly are you striving to reach with your content? Now, taking some time to research and determine your target audience is key to using the right kind of local content to reach them. Now, as you research, think of some topics that will be relevant and helpful for specific individuals. When you look at your business, who are your customers? Are they all male, 40 to 65? Are they female, 18 to 35? The typical demographics that you hear about so often. And then once you've honed in on that, that's how and who you want to be marketing to. So you also have to know where they're at on social media. Are they more in line with Facebook, with Instagram? Are they more interested in getting updates from Twitter? Feel free to ask them, how do you want to be notified by us? So knowing who you're striving to reach with your content is important, and taking some time to research and determine who they are is key to using the right kind of local content to reach them. And as you research, think of some topics that are going to be relevant and how often they want to be heard. Content marketing experts warn against skipping this step. Instead of just writing down some demographics you want to reach, tell a story. Give your ideal customers a name. Talk about him or his or her situation, said Garrett Smith, who's the founder and CEO of Pitch and Pivot. This will begin to show in your social media posts and get more people engaged. When you think of your target in terms of an individual Facebook user, your unique and specific content will shine through. You also want to be getting involved in local events. In addition to writing and sharing your original content, you should also stay up to date with local events. And while there is great benefit in sharing links to community events, local news stories, and Facebook events, you can take your local content even further by participating in local events or creating them yourself. So consider creating a Facebook event for an upcoming local high school game or a festival or a family night, especially if you haven't seen a Facebook event already created for it. Joe Garofo, who is the CEO of Efferent Media, encourages small business owners to take advantage of local events because of the networking opportunities and community support opportunities that they present. Being a vendor or sponsor at a local event lets customers know that your business is willing to get involved with the community that houses it. People within a community feel strongly about supporting the local businesses around them, and local brand recognition is very important for small businesses. When supporting local events, business owners can benefit by creating event pages on Facebook and inviting community members to attend. They can also work with the local events and charities to formulate some sort of cross-promotion agreement where a small business is getting shout-outs from the event itself. For example, an arts festival is a great way to promote local artists and engage with your community. Maybe your followers weren't aware of such an event coming up, so you can be the first one to inform them and share the details, like the address, admission price, parking situation, and any booth that you may be having for your business at the event. Reach out to the event coordinator to let them know about your Facebook event and ask for a mention or share to your page. You also want to use a variety of tactics to promote local content. Now, sharing a link to a local event or news story on your page is a good way to start, but your comments and promotional efforts are even more valuable. Facebook's algorithm favors content that prompts engagement in the form of comments or shares. If you share a local news story, write a quick summary of the article and your caption with an open question to your followers. Encourage them to respond with a comment or share the story with their friends. You can use Facebook's free insights tool to track which of your posts have received the most engagement. Facebook Live, if you're watching, you know what we're talking about, is another great way to connect with followers. The video streaming tool gives you a chance to discuss a topic or interview another local contributor in real time. So encourage anyone viewing your video to leave a comment or question, which you can address during the live stream. And you can follow up your video by replying to their comments with a link to your website for more information. Creating a Facebook group can also be an effective way to encourage an open conversation with your followers. You want to make sure that you can create a group either for your neighborhood, make it industry-specific, topic-specific, add a category, or just for the local event. Invite your followers to join, but don't make them regret it by promoting your services or product. Rather, invite them to share any questions or concerns they have so that you and others can respond. This establishes you as an active member in the discussion format. You should also actively seek out new opportunities to network and create new connections. So leave a comment on a post from another local business or blogger. Weigh in respectfully with your experience or opinion about the topic, and then provide a link to your blog or website for further reading. It's important that you don't miss out on local content marketing, not only because of Facebook's newsfeed changes, but also because your customers are also your neighbors. Establishing trust and rapport with your target audience will reflect on your ability to win more authority on their news feeds as well. So again, keeping it local, you know, there's probably one or two small businesses today that can scale up and become a large business tomorrow locally. Many should just be satisfied with what they're currently doing. And I think what you have to look at is if you create that good neighbor policy and that good neighbor attitude, people will respond to that. And that's what's going to help build your brand the most. Many people talk about Joe Colalillo over at ShopRite and how much he's philanthropically donated to so many different organizations. They talk about 100 Medical Center, same thing. Being a good neighbor pays huge dividends, so don't ignore it. You can't do everything. You can't sponsor every baseball team, every church picnic, and things like that, but be involved. And then when they talk about the networking events, you have to be seen. If you're just, you know, the guy in the ivory tower, people aren't going to want to do business with you. Let's talk about expanding your business. And whether or not you're expanding to try to grow just for the sake of growing or because you have more to offer. Now, sometimes owners are too eager to become an expanded business. So there are several tips to avoid the mistakes when pursuing growth strategies. And the following example may happen more often than we think when expanding a business. So imagine a successful small neighborhood restaurant. The restaurant specializes in, say, authentic Mexican cuisine. It's always busy. People line up on weekends to get a table. And one of their prized offerings is a special homemade sauces they serve with their dishes. The owners are happy and the customers are happy. One day, someone approaches the owners and convinces them that expanding their business by bottling and selling their sauces online is a golden opportunity. The owners are reluctant. They're happy with the level of business they have, but they're eventually convinced this is a great opportunity for expanding their business. So the owners embark on an adjacent business selling bottled sauces. But they soon find they've entered into an overcrowded market. They go into debt to finance the new undertaking. They spend a lot of time learning a new business and are distracted from their main successful business. The core business suffers, and customers are no longer lining up. Debts are mounting on both sides of the business, and eventually the company closes its doors. If you're a business owner considering expanding your business, here are a couple tips to avoid some costly mistakes. First, and this is the hardest one, look for any potential flaws in your idea. You have to take yourself away from the emotional pull of, I want to expand my business and why. And then you have to kind of say, I'm not me right now. And take a look from the third row in the bleachers and look at the idea and really go through it and do the pros and the cons. What's great about this idea? What's not? If it comes to scaling, you're obviously going to need money. If it comes to needing more inventory, you're going to need more space. You're going to need more human capital in addition to the financial capital. So you want to make sure that you're fully prepared when you go into it. What is insurance going to cost? What is rent going to be? Know all these things before you even get started. So when you get caught up in the passion for an idea, we tend to have an idealized image in our minds. We can fall in love with the idea and become blinded to the cold, hard facts. So before rushing to implement the idea, make sure that your vision is not built on rocky ground by examining the potential flaws in the plan. Simple questions would be, what will happen if the plan for expanding business doesn't work? How will you recover? Are you stretching yourself too thin? What effect will the expanding business have on your cash flow, at least in the short term? What happens if you run out of cash? What are your plans for refinancing? Are you downplaying the competition? Are you overestimating the revenue from expanding your business? You also want to do your homework. The excitement of embarking on growth initiative may prevent you from doing your due diligence. Contracts may be signed on the fly, third parties may add some important liability clauses at the last minute, and details can be missed altogether. After all, everyone is only thinking of success. Do your homework. It's okay to wait a day for a project that may last 20 years. Make sure that all of your ducks are right. And you want to stick to what you know. If you're considering expanding your business by introducing a new line or adding a new component, stop for a moment to consider these questions. Do you have the expertise to undertake this new side of the business? What will it take for you to be up to speed or as good in this new area as you are in your core business? What can you do better than your competition? Fourth, Mind the emotions that come with expanding a business. Now, consider the emotional impact that an expanding business might have on you and all those concerned. Growth can be an emotional roller coaster. Who else will be on the ride with you? Not everyone may be comfortable with rapid growth. So what types of new customers will you deal with? For example, you may have been happy dealing with a community of friendly neighborhood customers, and now you might have to deal with interpersonal or impersonal interactions online. You want to plan for the long term. When everyone is excited about the short-term growth, it's easy to take your eye off of the long-term ramifications of an expanding business. Again, some questions to ask. What kind of financial risk are you exposing yourself to? What effect might inflation and other economic factors have on your business? What happens if anticipated demand falls short of projections? Are your forecasts based on real demand over the long haul or just over the foreseeable future? You also want to be mindful of branding issues that may come from being an expanding business. Your brand is how customers view your business, and it may be part of what makes them loyal customer. So how does expanding the business into other areas affect the brand? Will it weaken what you have worked so hard at establishing? And make quality non-negotiable. Is quality an important aspect of your customer service? If so, consider what impact expanding your business will have on your ability to continue to provide the same level of service. Will there be time to give clients the same level of attention? Will you have to cut corners? Think about making quality an important consideration when you examine how you will expand. 8, consider getting expert advice when expanding your business involves a merger or an acquisition. You need to talk to lawyers, accountants, other people who have been through similar things, preferably within your own industry. Make sure you have as much knowledge as possible when you enter into this agreement. And you want to be clear about your definition of success. Ultimately, if you're considering growth for growth's sake, you might want to think about the ramifications of the growth on your personal life. What are your life goals? Does expanding business help or hinder those goals? And will you be able to maintain the lifestyle you value? What impact will it have on your family? It all comes down to your personal definition of success. Expanding your business is a choice, so choose wisely. And if you decide you're not quite ready to expand your business after considering the points in this story, then you may want to wait for a little while and then look at it when the time is more favorable. Expanding business when you're ready and more certain can bring on opportunities for even greater success. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. We'll be back right after this.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchamberradio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot in Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot in Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way.
Lucky Dog You. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me on this Thursday afternoon, on my birthday afternoon. Cookie Watch is coming down to the final 10 minutes, and so far, no chocolate chip cookies. Nobody brought me any chocolate chip cookies during the show. I remember when I was back working at WBRW, if you let it slip that your birthday was coming up and somebody or another DJ would say, "Hey, Jim, it's your birthday today," all of a sudden we would have old ladies just stomping into the studio. They made cookies. They made cakes. They brought you all kinds of treats. They brought you teddy bears. They were like groupies. But apparently I have no groupies today. No chocolate chip cookies for me. And my waistline appreciates that. I also want to send a shout out and a thank you to Don Pennypacker, a friend of mine from Salem College, who sent me a picture today from 1983. He had stopped by the radio station I was working at the time, the student-run radio station WITB, and took a picture of me. I don't remember ever having the picture taken. I had never seen this picture before, but I did post that on my personal page on Facebook and on the Taking Care of Business radio page. So if you get a chance, you'll get to see what it was like working at WITB. Turntables on the right, control board on the left, cart decks on the top, you know, with the EBS system getting ready to scream at you from behind. Just great times working on that little radio station. Again, WITB-FM in Salem, West Virginia. All right, this is a topic that comes up more often than I'd like to hear, and it's a topic that Mike Michalowicz talks about in his book, Profit First. Mike will be joining me on the program next week, and it's about how your customers just aren't paying. And there's 7 signs that your client will never pay your invoice, whether you're selling a product or a service or a consultancy or something like that. So what are the 7 signs that you need to be looking out for, and the red flags, if you will, to prevent your customer from skipping out on payment? And most freelancers and small business owners will come face to face with this reality at least once, probably more so. The first is a refusal to sign a contract. Now, if you're in a business where you rely on contracts to perform on both sides of the table, if a customer won't sign the contract, that's a sure sign that they're not willing to stand by the terms of the agreement. So make sure that, you know, if they won't sign it, that you have some guarantees with either payment up front or something else that you will be paid. If they start haggling over your rates, you want to make sure that you settle, whether it's an hourly or a project, that you tell them the rate up front. There's nothing worse than assuming that somebody knows that your bill is going to be $2,000. And then when you present them with the bill, they say, "Whoa, I never agreed to that. I'll give you $1,000. And suddenly you've done $2,000 worth of work for $1,000. So make sure that your rates or your cost of the contract are clearly laid out. Also using dismissive language. Now, be wary of clients who subtly undervalue your work by asking you to put together a quick proposal. They misrepresent your role, or they use careless language to develop or to devalue your input. Sometimes carelessness can be the result of a lack of knowledge, and that's why they hire you, the specialist, after all. But there is a difference between naivete and willful ignorance, so don't let clients underestimate your value. You also don't want them to suddenly disappear, their inability to be responsive. Now, if clients are slow to respond to emails or they don't respond at all, miss project deadlines or fail to return feedback in a timely manner, there's a great chance they will give your invoice a similar tardy treatment. Communication is a basic skill and necessary to the success of any relationship. You want to make sure that you can even tell them, be it email or phone call, "I will not proceed any further on this project until I hear from you," so that they at least know, okay, the thing I need isn't even being worked on at this point. If they have a lack of respect for you or your time, the other side of the coin is when clients are overly communicative and nitpicky about your work. If clients insist on updates or edits that stretch your time beyond a project rate, it's likely they will find something to complain about in the finished product as well, and find an excuse to talk you down from your established rates. So make sure that people are respective of your time. And when I say that, it's something that you have to be respectful of too. You have to respect your own time. There's a value to it. So make sure that you're getting all the value you can out of it. They won't pay online. Now, this is not 1993, so payment through PayPal and other online services are normal in 2018. If you have clients who resist paying online, treat that as a warning sign.
With free and accessible options available, there's no excuse for clients to refuse to play online. The ease of online payment processing allows you to track your income and process it painlessly, and it also makes things easier on the client. So clients who insist on paying by check or sending payment by mail may have no intention of paying you at all. And finally, they demand delivery up front. Now, most freelance work is not like selling products. With a product, you can take it back and sell it to someone else if the buyer doesn't pay. With freelance work, however, usually that isn't an option. So if a client asks for delivery before payment, be wary. Sure, there might be a good reason for this request, and your trusting heart or need to keep the client might urge you to meet this demand, but it doesn't end well. It really doesn't. So make sure that you don't cave to that request. It is completely reasonable for you to delay full delivery of your completed project until you receive partial or full payment. Unfortunately, as a freelancer or small business owner, you can't always rely on your clients, but staying staunch in your agreement is not only a necessity, it's a sign of integrity for your business that will keep valuable clients returning, part of the pumpkin plan that Mike also talks about. So get those invoices taken care of before the project was drafted and find yourself swimming upstream to chase down your elusive client. Also, on freelance work, try sending them an uneditable content that has the word proof clearly written across it, stamped on it so that they can't reproduce it, or put a copyright all over it with your name on it and tell them that the copyright will be removed once final payment is made. So a couple ideas there for how to get paid. And just remember, when all else fails, use a collection service. In sports, in NASCAR news, last Sunday's race saw Kyle Busch, the winner of the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. This Sunday, the teams are going to head to Long Pond, Pennsylvania for the Pocono 400. The Indy 500 was won by Australian Will Power for driving for the captain, Roger Penske. In Major League Baseball, the 2018 Major League Baseball regular season is underway, and the Red Sox, Indians, and Astros lead their divisions in the American League, while the Nationals, Brewers, and Rockies lead their division in the National. In the NBA playoffs, the Cleveland Cavaliers will play the Golden State Warriors in this year's NBA Finals. That starts tonight. And in the NHL playoffs, the Las Vegas Golden Knights are playing the Washington Capitals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today. And I was in the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your life as well, when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have upcoming ideas for topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
U.S. Marines killed more than 70 Taliban leaders in Afghanistan. Leah Gabriel is a former Navy fighter pilot and intelligence operator. She explains what this all means.
Well, I think it means that at least on this localized level, our strategy is working. If you listen to General Nicholson, who's the top U.S. general in Afghanistan right now, he will even say that this is a localized effect that it's having. But I think this particular attack and this particular success shows that our intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance efforts are working. It means for us to have followed this group of leaders, Taliban leaders, from including leaders from six different provinces in Afghanistan.
President Trump is in Santa Fe, Texas, where he will meet with family members and community leaders affected by this month's shooting at a Santa Fe high school. Game one of the NBA Finals tips off tonight in Oakland, where the Golden State Warriors will host LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is USA Radio News.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government